Resilient. Survivor is saved. Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor. Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give the middle.
Give them the swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million. Schkelly.
Aldi. Million. Rumli.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor Brains vs Brawn. I'm your host Shannon Gus, getting you ready here for a very special interview with the great JLP. We got into some really fun stuff, some back and forth about the show at large and the upcoming season, and maybe, you know, I pitched some ideas. International Survivor season, is this going to happen? We talked about all of it and it was really, really fun. So I hope you guys enjoy that, and I just want to plug some of the other Australian Survivor stuff that we have going on. We have so much happening. We did everything you needed to know last week with Amy Chan. We did a full cast preview with the great Mike Bloom. Then we're going to have exit interviews and a recap with Rob Cesenino for week one, and on we will roll through the rest of the season. So I hope you will check all of that out. If you like the show, definitely check out some of this additional content. Subscribe to the International Survivor Wrap-Ups feed. Follow me at Shannon Gates so that you don't miss any of that content. It is going to be a big season and we are already doing a lot with it. So I hope you enjoy and I will see you on the other side. JLP, thank you for coming on to RHAP once again. We're privileged to have you.
Oh, look, thanks for having me on.
We're very excited to get your takes. Obviously, the season is on in 2 days. Very exciting stuff. I'll start with the big picture. Give us the pitch. What can fans really look forward to? No spoilers, but what are we looking forward to this season?
Well, I think the biggest difference this season is the location, because we're 180 degrees from our previous tropical lush locations. We're now in the middle of the Australian outback, and it's hot. It's unbelievably hot. It's dusty. It's dirty. There are all kinds of wildlife that could kill you in an instant. It's kind of taken the show in a different direction, kind of a Mad Max direction. So I think that's the biggest difference this season.
Were there any like difficulties or any benefits particularly for you as a production crew in filming locally?
Well, it was easy to get things, you know, shipped to the location when we needed them. So that was good from a production point of view. But we all actually found it really difficult. You know, just the environment, the temperatures were extreme, 40 plus degrees every day. And the locations were a lot further apart this season. And they're all in the outback, so there's no paved roads, all broken roads. So we were traveling 3 or 4 hours every day between locations. And when you do that, you know, 7 days a week, it kind of takes a toll. So it definitely was tougher. And also, we reduced the game from 50 days to 48 days.
Okay.
It was a budgetary decision to try and save some money. And two days doesn't sound like much, but in a tight schedule, what was already a tight schedule, the 2 days is a lot. So all those things kind of conspired to make it a really tough season. Even though we reduced the game 48 days, we're still producing the same number of episodes and the same content, you know.
Yeah, and still having to get it down from 24 people, so I definitely understand that would be a quick turnaround. But, you know, on the other hand of the difficulties, you are showing kind of this Australian landscape to the world, to an audience, and also getting some money into the Australian economy, which is great through everything that we've been through. So were there any things that you really showed about Australia that made you really happy to just be like, this is our place, or this is our country, and we can kind of show that to the world in its glory?
Definitely. I definitely think there was a sense of pride, you know, with the crew, and certainly with me and the producers, in being able to shoot it in Australia. Like you said, to showcase what is available. And I think it's so different to what we were doing before. It's just a great, it's a great point of difference. And, I think it works, you know, it works for the show visually. It looks, amazing. And it just adds a whole level of difficulty to the game for the players. So I think it's I think it worked out really well. And then, like you said, there are all the other benefits of employing local people and boosting the local economy.
Yeah.
And all of this came out of necessity, really, because of COVID. But I think it was I think it worked out really well in the end.
Yeah, definitely excited to see that very different location. I know it's something that fans of the US show and the Australian show have really wanted for a long time because it's been in Fiji for so long. So I think everyone is pretty excited about a different spot for it. But also a big thing this season is the theme. And I know that you've always been a fan of the US show. Obviously, they've done a version of Brains versus Brawn with Osso Beauty. But why did this theme, you know, speak to you personally as a host?
Well, it's that age-old question, right? What's more valuable in the game of Survivor? You know, is it brains or brawn? And I think what you quickly will learn is that you really need, as a good player, you really need both characteristics, right? You need both skills. You need to be intelligent. You need to be physically capable. But one thing that's missing from that equation is the social game. And you'll see that the best players, they have brains, they have brawn, but they also have the social game. And personally, I feel like social game is probably the most important thing to have. And you'll see that as the game evolves or unfolds.
Yeah, I think the U.S. has often kind of given the social game to that, like, beauty tribe, which we don't have, which maybe was a false equivalence. I think it's probably cleaner to have brains versus brawn, but was there, like, a particular reason why beauty just got cut?
No, I think, you know, that was a producer decision. I just think the Aussie producers feel like having three tribes gets confusing for the audience. So that's why we did that in season one, and I guess they felt that it was confusing for the audience. I don't feel that way, but that's what they think, and so I think that's why they were sticking to the two tribes. That's why Beauty got eliminated.
Yeah, eliminated before the game. But I mean, there's been every joke in the book about how, like, you are the requisite Beauty, so we already got it covered. I would like to know if you consider yourself more a brain or a brawn. Maybe, as you said, you got to have both, but, like, which one do you lean towards?
Probably brain. I'm a bit of a thinker, so I would like to, you know, I'd like to think that they'd be my people.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of the listeners, I think, maybe will identify themselves as brains. They are people who listen to a Survivor podcast. How will the brains not die here is my question, because I think Australian Survivor is well known for having, like, really, really tough, epic challenges, often, like, big physical wrestling challenges. There can be a puzzle or two, but often it's, like, extremely physical. And I think a lot of us are like, well, the brains might get, like, you know, a little bit beat up here by these huge Brawn tribe members.
Yeah, look, I think production was cognizant of that this time, and I think they made a concerted effort to create more balanced challenges that gave everyone a fair crack. And I think they achieved that for the most part this year. So I don't think it's going to be so one-sided like it has been in the past.
Another thing about the season is it's been described in some of the promo stuff as a new era. Do you see it as such? Like, are you looking forward to progress the show through a new phase, or do you see it as kind of adding on to where it's come from? Because obviously we have had a bit of a break that we didn't expect. It, you know, comes off the back of an all-star season that kind of caps those first five seasons. So do you see it as this break or more of a continuation?
I think it's more of a continuation, to be honest. I mean, the format's still the same. You know, we try to improve everything as we move along, but it's still within the same box. But I think everything, you know, I think the challenges were really creative this season. The twists are great. I think it's the location that's the big character this season. I don't know if it's necessarily a new era, but I definitely think that it is continues to improve and evolve.
Yeah, how do you evolve, do you think, as a host, as the show has kind of gone on through the years?
Well, look, I like to think that I get better at what I do, challenges and tribal. I'm always learning. I still haven't quite figured out tribal yet. and I think that I probably never will. It's just one of those things. Sometimes it all falls into place, and other times it just feels like it's a mess. But that's kind of what I'm striving to do, to try and figure out tribal.
Yeah. What kind of challenges? Cause I mean, it is like a living kind of breathing thing, tribal, I would say. Like, what kind of challenges are you working through with that?
Yeah, look, I find it just difficult. You know, you've got 12 people in front of you, and you've got to remember all their stories. You've got to remember all their relationships. You got to remember, all their strategies. And at the same time, I'm trying to get information from them that the producers want, but I'm trying to do that in a way that doesn't blow up the contestants' game, you know? So it's just a really intricate dance that I'm trying to execute when I'm out there. And, sometimes I get the rhythm right, and other times I'm stepping on people's feet. It's just one of those things that I haven't quite figured out yet.
I think you do a good job. I think maybe you're a little hard on yourself, but I understand that would be really difficult. It's like a group therapy session, but in secret, where you have more information. Like, I totally get why that would be so hard. And something that Australian Survivor has that the other franchises don't is that it has these, like, surprise non-elimination episodes because it needs to for the episode order. Do any stand out to you from the past that you, like, really liked or didn't like, or even some ideas maybe for the future that you would like to see it go in that direction?
Look, I'm not a fan of the non-elimination episode, and unfortunately it's just a necessity for our format, because mm-hmm. we do so many more episodes per season, and we just don't have enough bodies to vote off. So personally, I'm not really a fan of them. I'm just trying to think of one that, I mean, occasionally they work out, you know, okay, but they just feel a bit convoluted to me, and it's always tricky, because someone wants to be, yeah, the audience wants to see someone go home, right? And mm-hmm. and they don't, so that's a bit tricky.
Yeah, we did actually a think tank on this last year, trying to work out some ideas for the show and also just for the non-elimination episodes, and we got a suggestion from a listener that we thought kind of solved it. We thought, like, why don't they start with two extra people, like two tribes of 13? I don't know if they would think that would be too much, but it might solve it. So while I have you on the line, I thought maybe, like, I could get your ear. If you're not a fan as well, maybe that's something you can take to production.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to go. But hey, I'll present them with it and see what happens.
All right, tell them that the fans seem
keen. What's your opinion of the non-elimination episodes?
I do think they're like a necessary evil, I guess, for the episode order. For me, like, I would prefer a more pure game. Like, there has been good drama sometimes to come from it, but I do think there's a lot more miss, I guess, than hit with the non-elimination episodes. And while it can be like a shocking moment, I don't think the audience is ever happy to hear, like, you say, you know, there's a surprise coming now, and it can feel a little game breaky and just kind of a bit of a letdown, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I'm kind of a purist when it comes to Survivor. And you know, I like to keep the hand of the producer out of it. And unfortunately, you know, the non-elim is the hand of the producer. So, to a degree, you know, and it just feels, I'm with you. I want to, you know, keep it as pure as possible.
Yeah, I mean, they already cut it down from what it was in the first two seasons in terms of the episode order. So, like, we got rid of a couple. I think if they just started with more people, I don't think anyone, I personally would not be missing the non-elimination episodes. And I think it would just be a more straight down the line game. So, JLP, you have that suggestion. You're going to go back to them and tell them, and we're on the same page with this.
Yeah, I will, totally. I mean, honestly, we have, I don't want to tell you how the non-LMs work this season.
Yeah.
But I think that the solution we came up with this season is probably the best way for us to do non-LMs. And if they're not going to add extra people, then we should continue doing what we're going to, what you'll see this season for the non-LMs.
Okay.
It's a little less icky than what we've done in the past.
All right. Definitely excited to see that. I also kind of wanted to ask about, you know, you've come back here in COVID, we're in a global pandemic, that's a lot. For you, like, what were the challenges of filming in COVID? You were living internationally, you had to come back. Like, how did that kind of add on to what you were already saying? Is it quite a difficult filming experience?
Well, you know, I did over 12 months of lockdown through the pandemic in Los Angeles. And then I flew to Australia and did quarantine for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got out, there was like zero COVID in Australia at the time. So there were no restrictions, no lockdowns, no one's wearing masks, no one's social distancing. It was the first time I'd gone into a restaurant in 12 months, first time I'd gone into a gym in 12 months. So that was really kind of strange for me. And certainly when we got to the outback, I mean, they haven't had a single case up there since the start of the pandemic. So we really didn't feel the impact of COVID at all during production, which took me a while to get my head around that. But in the end, I was, you know, pretty used to it and pretty grateful for it.
Yeah, I mean, beyond filming it in production, the cast comes in, obviously, having been through this, like, nightmare year that everyone went through in different ways. Like, was that a part of the season? Did you see that kind of play out for contestants who were leaving family members, I guess, in a bit more uncertainty, or who just kind of been through it? I mean, there aren't a lot of Victorians, I guess, on the cast, but, like, I'm from Victoria. I feel like leaving would feel different. Everything feels different for everyone, I think, playing. So did you see that at all, or was it really, like, a COVID-free zone?
It felt pretty COVID-free, to be honest with you. You know, I think once people are there, they just they kind of forget about the outside world, and they're, you know, completely invested. And because COVID wasn't really an issue for the production, there wasn't this constant reminder, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when they're playing, they're out. You know, they don't have access to the news cycle. They don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. So it didn't really feel like it was part of the game at all this season.
Very interesting. We've got the whole cast. We've got all 24 people in a cast preview that's been given to us. Take yourself back before filming about what you knew of the contestants. Did anyone really stand out to you that we should be particularly excited for?
Yeah, there were a couple of people that I thought were interesting. You know, like George, the political operative. I thought he was kind of an interesting character when I saw his audition. And he certainly lives up to that in the game. He's definitely one to watch out for. He's an odd, somewhat of an odd personality, but he's hilarious, very smart, and knows the game really well, and is a big risk taker, which is kind of what you want in a player, you know. So he devised some pretty clever strategy throughout the season and took some big risks. So he definitely lived up to, you know, my initial impression. But it's kind of weird when I look at a lot of the audition tapes. It's difficult to get a take on a lot of the players, because a lot of them talk a big game, but when they get to the floor, they, you know, everything kind of changes. I think the just something about the intensity of the game really has an effect on the players once they start, you know, playing. So it's often difficult to tell from their audition how they're going to perform in the end.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely excited to see it play out with this cast. I want to go back to the theme because, as you know, Brains versus Brawn, this US-built theme, For you, what's been your favorite theme? We've had All-Stars, we've had two champions contenders, and now Brains versus Braun. Like, does any stand out to you as a favorite?
I thought the champions versus contenders was a pretty good theme. I like Brains versus Braun, too. You know, I think these are all good jumping off points for a narrative, you know, but that's what they are. And I mean, in the end, they're just kind of, they're start the story, right? And I think when you see the game start to play out, you really, you need a bit of everything to be a good player.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of, like, kind of framing device themes in the U.S. as well. Brains versus Braun, I think, is, like, a big one in that. But are there any other themes from the U.S. that you would be keen to maybe try out in Australia?
I like the idea of blood versus water.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting. I like the Millennials versus Gen X. I liked David versus Goliath, which I guess is kind of a version of Brains versus Braun, right?
Well, it's kind of a version of Champions versus Contender, if anything.
Champions versus Contender. Yeah, exactly. What else do I like? I mean, Heroes versus Villains is always a classic, right?
Yeah.
What else did they do?
I mean, I guess they could do a bit of a white-collar, blue-collar thing. It'd be quite similar Brains versus Braun, but I think that because AU really does, like, go hard on the story, they could get some of those, like, blue-collar stories in there, and it probably worked pretty well.
Yes, I think it would work well. Totally. Totally. But it's, I guess, it's kind of similar to Brains versus Braun again, right?
Yeah, you'd cut no color, just the same as you cut beauty, because it kind of doesn't fit. So I could see that, but I think they'd have to do it quite a few years after Brains versus Braun, because it is quite similar.
Yeah.
Are there any themes that you have ideas for that have never been done in the U.S. that you would like to see the show do?
No, I mean, the U.S. has covered a lot of themes. No, not off the top of my head. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, while I have your ear and you're going back to production with it, I have a pitch that I think could be unique to Australia. Even though I would say that I think the best thing that we could hopefully do, and there's red tape, I'm sure, beyond what I can understand, but like an international season, I think, would be so epic, because Australia as a country is so sports-focused and international sports-focused, so kind of getting tribe of US people, you guys already kind of broached that with having Russell. South Africans, maybe, you know, you've got this world of Survivor happening on 10Play where they have, like, Survivor South Africa coming day of to 10Play. They've got US, they've got New Zealand. Like, I think Australia is the country most kind of consolidating this global culture. Like, I think that would be, especially as someone who covers all the shows, but just, like, so epic to have, like, an international season of people on different teams and then kind of seeing how they all mix together.
Yeah, I see that a lot on social media. You know, a lot of the fans are asking for U.S. versus Australia this season.
Yes.
And I guess it is an interesting concept, but who's going to host it?
You would host, because it would be a season of Australian Survivor. It would fit into, like, our version of the show, but we would just, you know, recruit people from other countries. I mean, you'd get a lot of players who would be keen to do it.
Yeah, look, maybe that's what they should. But then I'm sure there'd be a lot of people who would complain about that. Be like, hey, I'm an Aussie. I want to be on the Aussie one. Why do we have people from America or South Africa, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just hard to keep everyone. It's hard to keep everyone happy.
Well, even during All-Stars, you get people who are unhappy, like, where are the everyday Aussies? You don't want All-Stars. But then, like, you want to be able to have All-Stars. So, like, you can't just cater to people complaining that they aren't on the show. That is a really minor, minor complaint from that fan.
You're right. But you're right. I think it would be an interesting concept, particularly between the U.S. and Australia, just to see how the two cultures would compete. It would be kind of interesting. And I mean, let's be honest, the level of gameplay in the U.S. is pretty sophisticated. So I think they would give the Aussies a run for their money.
Yeah, I mean, they've been through it 40 seasons, but hey, bring them over here to do our harsh climate, which they haven't done in, you know, 20 or so years, and also 48 days? Like, we might have it over them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is very true.
So, yeah, take that to production.
I think it's worth, I will, it's worth exploring. I will do that.
Yeah, and it must be somewhat possible if Russell came.
So we want Australia versus the U.S., and we want 26 players.
Yes, 26. 13 U.S., 13 Australia. I love this. This is what's going to happen. And I want credit if that does happen. That's my list of demands, JLP.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Okay, we'll see if we can make it happen.
Okay, great. I'm loving this teamwork vibe between us to get all the seasons we want. I'd love to look back a little bit because, you know, it's been a big 5 years for the show, the All-Star season, so much going on. Is there anything you look back at as, like, favorite moments from, the past few years of filming the show?
Favorite moments? I guess one that stands out was the tribal where... Benji convinced Sean not to play her idol.
Yeah.
That was kind of a crazy moment. That kind of just popped into my head. What about you?
No, I mean, that was absolutely epic. I mean, so many things. I mean, there's been a lot of really great seasons. I would say, you know, Luke getting voted out in 2019 stands out as just like, it was so sad and obviously encouraged the whole country to...
Yes.
You know, get $500,000 for him. So that was pretty epic. But there are so many incredible moments. I mean, Dave's whole game last season is, I think, globally significant in how well he played. So there's definitely been some standouts.
Yes, no, definitely. He definitely, he was definitely playing on a different level and, deserved to win.
Well, JLP, thank you so much for joining us for this interview, for helping me cause all the trouble. The last question I have is that, you know, you have this whole acting career beyond Survivor, and while this is a Survivor-specific podcast, like, is there anything you can tell the fans to check out that you're doing recently or currently in your career acting-wise that they should also, like, look out for JLP on?
No, I wish I had something else to plug. No, the pandemic kind of shut everything down for over a year, so... Survivor has been it at this stage. So that's it. That's all I got to plug.
All right. Well, I will see you, I guess, US versus Australia. You heard it here first. And I will, I guess, maybe try and get an interview with you before that, if they ever let me talk to you again.
Hilarious. Yes, I'm going to pitch it. And let's see. Hopefully we can make it happen.
All right, we did this together, JLP. Incredible teamwork. I look forward to my credit, but thank you so much again for coming on to the podcast. It was an absolute joy to chat to you.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Okay, everyone, there you have it. Some really good times with JLP, and thank you to the show for setting that up. It's always a joy to speak to JLP. And that like... iconic JLP laugh. Is there anything better in this universe than the JLP laugh? So to recap again on what else you should be listening to, we have everything you needed to know, the theme, the location. Obviously, JLP gave a lot, but we dive deep with Amy Chan. We've got the full cast preview with Mike Bloom, and then we're going to have exit interviews and recap starting with Rob Cesternino. Unfortunately, we couldn't make It's a Look work scheduling-wise with Bryce, but hopefully there's enough content to keep you satisfied otherwise. There is so much content. There is going to be a lot of Australian Survivor coming up. You do not want to miss it. Hope you're also checking out Survivor South Africa and my coverage with Mike Bloom about that every week. We're having a great time with it. It is Survivor Overload, but it's definitely what we all asked for. The monkey's paw. We have it all now, and we are going to enjoy it. So thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this one, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Adventure of a lifetime.